You're listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey! Biscuit! It's Jimmy from Boston. You boys call it being critical? I call it motivation. I gotta make sure you're playing up to your potential. I'm like a goddamn ball-busting Bill Belichick over here. So I spark that fire so you boys can shine bright. And you know what? That shit worked! You all brought your A-game. The last show was hilarious. So, you're welcome. Later.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond.
Why this, Lou?
He said shine bright.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Pete and Sebastian Show, we are back, baby. What's up, Sebastian? Let's get it going. Stretch it out. Shake it out, kid.
Coming in with a lot of gusto on that. A lot of gusto. We just got done saying we got nothing, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm smoking mirrors now. Although I have to say, with Jimmy's message right out of the gate, that's almost like... He said he enjoyed last show the way you tell your wife she looks nice just because you're running late. I mean, your wife always looks nice. That's how we all feel. But, I mean, nevertheless, he's just like, oh, it was a great show. High-pitched voice. I don't know if I buy it. Yeah, we are a little light on material today. Nobody came in particularly prepared. I don't know what excuses we got going.
No, I don't know. I don't want to give excuses. But let me paint the picture for the listeners. Yeah. Right now, I'm in my office. Just did a cleansing of the office. You ever just look at your desk and there's just a lot of clutter, papers, what have you? I just kind of went through the whole damn thing and kind of clean. So I feel a sense of relief that I got that off my shoulders. But I have a TV in here, and the TV, I got it hooked up to, those parents will relate to this. It's a video camera, or camera, what have you, that's on the kid's bed. Yeah. And, you know, once you become a parent, your viewing it changes. You know, it's not HBO anymore. It's, you're looking at this thing called the Nest, and you're looking at your baby. So I was looking at Serafina earlier this morning, and we're having some problems within the last 36 hours, and wanted to kind of bring this up to you in regards to the cry. We're getting a new cry. It's a cry that is a little bit more violent than previous cries. It's a cry that's kind of screeching, and we were kind of thrown off by it yesterday, and I wanted to talk to you. Does the crying seem to differ as the child grows?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like any person's yell, you know? As you get older, your yell is going to get deeper or louder. Or yeah, man. Hold on. I want to refocus on... I get the child camera. We got a version of that coming our way. Mm-hmm. We had one before as well. But like to literally say you're viewing that over HBO. I mean, what are we doing? We're sitting there with a bowl of popcorn watching the baby channel?
Nah. Just as I was cleaning the office, I had it up because she was sleeping, and she was been a little fussy the last 36 hours. But I have to say, she took a dynamite shit, and it blew right through the diaper, and I got scolded for not putting the diaper on tight enough. You ever it came out the sides. This thing was so violent it shot not only through the diaper but through the clothing.
Holy back. Oh man.
So up on the screen right now I'm looking at a pair of dirty bed sheets that we gotta change. So that's basically been my life for the last 6 days.
So are you guys are you doing it solo, you and Lana, or you got a...
Nah, solo, bro.
Wow, dude, there's no one but Maniscalco roaming those halls.
Yeah, I mean, we have our housekeeper, but she's, you know, tides up the house. But
that's a housekeeper. Yeah. Wow, man. No, I'm just saying that's not baby help. No.
I mean, if need be, the housekeeper, yeah. she you know, she's got seven kids of her own. It's not like she's foreign to babysitting or child care. But Lon and I had a discussion last week about nannies and what have you, and our schedules are such where. You know, Lana's kind of working out of the house right now. Not really doing a lot of art just because of the baby, but Lana, you know, works from home. I basically work from home when I'm home. So I said, Lana, I don't want another person roaming around the house just to roam around the house. I go, we got this. It's us. What the hell do we need a second pair of hands for? I mean, we're the parents. Yeah. I mean,
it's a lot of work, but you know,
it's work, but it's what it's like, what are you going to do? You're going to hand off your child to somebody else and have them, you know, I told Lon, I go, I'm not working a 9-to-5 where I got to get in the car and go to a building. You aren't either. So there's parents that have to have, you know, 8-9 hour childcare while they are at work, which, you know, is understandable. But I said, why are we going to have somebody just here just to be here? And we agreed that right now we don't need it.
Wow, I'm impressed. I was anticipating a small army there, to be honest with you, man. Wow.
No small army. We got the army. My wife is, I got to tell you, and again, I keep this slid into motherhood like you wouldn't believe. And she's just the most patient. And I mean, the kid's crying his lungs, her lungs out, and Lana's smiling. It's okay. It's okay. And it's just like, man, the patience she has. And we're going nanny-less for now. I mean, I know some people, we're not going to name any names, that they're going to have a nanny, and they got this, they got that, and they could do it themselves, but they choose not to. And we're not gonna be that couple.
We made it, you and I.
This week is her, Sadie's, fourth birthday party. That's why I'm a little underprepared. Well, this is the first birthday party she's having with, like, you know, actual kids coming over. That are invited and stuff. So we're having a mini carnival for the kids, where me and Jackie came up with all the games. Well, we didn't invent them all, but like for example, one game we have, my idea, I took a piece of plywood, cut a big hole in the middle for your face, and then I put, we covered the whole thing with a red tablecloth so the whole board looks red except for the hole. And then we put clothes below the hole. So when you stick your face in, it looks like you're dressed funny. And then it has a hat, too. And you stick your face in. I do. And then the kids have whipped cream pies. And they throw the pies at my face. And if you hit my face, you get a little prize. Right?
Wow, look at that. The father just popping in there as a prop.
We have another game is you have a whole outfit for a lifeguard jacket, pants, I mean shorts, whistle, hat, glasses, and you have to, the game is they say go, and you have to get dressed as quick as possible, and then turn and look at the camera and pose for a photo, and then take all the clothes off, and whoever does it the fastest time wins. Yeah, now again, my idea.
Hold on, wait a minute.
What? What
are you talking about? Kids are taking their clothes off?
No, they're putting the lifeguard clothes over the clothes that they have on. What are you even saying?
I gotta ask. You're insinuating. Some of these games you come up with is sick.
So listen to this, though. So when they pose for the photo, like that's how you know you're fully clothed. I mean, you got all the stuff on. Then you pose, and then you quick take all the lifeguard stuff off. And it's who can get dressed up and dressed down and that stuff the fastest. But when they pose and we take the photo, then they all give, you know, obviously birthday gifts. So when Jackie sends the thank you card to each child for coming to the birthday, enclosed will be a black and white photo of their child in the funny lifeguard outfit.
Oh, Oh,
yeah.
That's
a nice touch.
I thought you'd like that. I'm not playing games. Then we got potato sack race, but Jackie's like, instead of like just old sacks, she bought pillowcases, and she tie-dyed each one either red, blue, or yellow, the theme colors for the carnival. And then they have their own tie-dye pillowcase. And then one of Jackie's friends face paints, so that's going on.
I like this. I like this, where this is going. I like the creativity you've taken on making up your own games rather than, you know, going and get a stupid Pinocchio set and having the kids spin around and try and put pin the tail on the donkey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I am doing pin the tail on the donkey, man.
Yeah, but I mean, there's other games here. Yeah. There's a striptease they're doing.
Hit me in the face with the pie. And listen,
there's a pie thing.
We got another one where we take golf balls, ping pong balls, and we put them all on golf tees across on a table, and everybody gets their own water gun, and whoever can knock their ball off first wins a prize. Pow.
Wow.
Jackie's
How many
got
kids?
One.
How many kids?
It'd be like 9 kids.
All right.
And Jackie's got one game where you tie a string around your ankle, and the other end has of the string has a little balloon tied to it. Not a big one, maybe about the size of a melon, a little smaller. And you have to try and stomp out the other person's balloon, and whoever has the last one with a balloon wins. I keep telling her, I don't know, the balloons are very light. They're going to be stepping on each other's feet. Kids going to be falling all over. I don't know how that round is going to play out. I said, listen, just do yourself a favor and close the whole carnival with the pie throwing, because that's unfollowable. So that's what we got going.
You can't follow that. That's not. Are you going to have other parents, or is this like a drop and go?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. You know, Jackie's saying you're more than welcome to stay if you want, but of course you don't have to. So I'm curious to see, like, there's some close friends that are just going to stay, obviously, because they're friends. But some of the other parents just, like, you know, beat it.
Woo! Check it!
There's no reason to hang out, so I don't know. We'll see.
I don't remember the parents being at a lot of the birthdays. I remember it was just like, hey, so-and-so's got a birthday party. They dropped them off at noon. They picked them up at 3. Not every parent, like, stood around and watched the entertainment. I don't know. Now I seem that everybody seems to go to the party. I could see the kids won. Yeah, you're going, but, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, the parents stay home.
I would think so, too. But, I mean, then my old mayor calls today and says, I just happened to see something that said Fredonia in the news, so I looked it up, and apparently a guy on Temple Street, your block, got arrested last night for pedophilia. I'm like, what? So
we did that map?
What? Yeah, I know. I told him. I said, we did it on the castle once. We did a map, and Sebastian's like, you got a water street by you? They were all over that thing. So, no, but I said, no, I didn't hear about the latest, but that's why no one leaves their kids anyway, man. Everybody's touching and grabbing. It's a goddamn nightmare.
Hey, you, get your damn hands off.
A couple nights ago, Jackie and I were watching a movie, Gold, with Matthew McConaughey. You see it?
Good, good.
Oh, fantastic. Lou, did you see that?
No way. What is this garbage?
Oh, God, he finds a gold mine, and this whole thing, it's fantastic, man. It's a true, based on a true story. But halfway through that puppy, we go, you know what, let's actually try that. Jackie's like, let's try the popcorn thing we never used yet from Sebastian and Lana. Let's use the Whirly popcorn maker that you say how you make your popcorn. A half hour later, my kitchen smells like a wing joint. I got a garbage can full of popcorn because I couldn't get it right. Now, first of all, when you put the oil in, like in this pot, the way it works is you put the pot on, you turn the heat on, you put a little oil, two tablespoons of canola oil, the YouTube guy says, and then you take two kernels and drop them in. And when they pop, that means you're ready to drop all your corn in, right?
Yeah.
Right. Now, the minute they pop, I put the corn in. Already the oil is smoking like crazy. And then the whole machine is so light that when I try to spin that blade, that thing, I got to hold the top or the whole thing moves, but the whole thing is hot, so I can't put my hand on it. So I got to get my sleeve, and I'm trying to balance, and then there's too much corn in there, so I can't even crank the thing because the corn's coming over the top. And do you have any of these problems?
I'm going to call an expert in to discuss the Whirly Pop and how it's done. Lana is in charge of making all of our popcorn, so I haven't used the thing but once. But we just had popcorn last night.
How'd you have it last night?
Oh, she did oil and salt. That's all.
But she did it in the Whirly thing.
Yeah, beautiful. Best popcorn I've ever had. I don't know what the hell you're doing over there, but this is the best popcorn I have ever had, and no butter. I mean, oil and salt, no butter. She made a batch with butter. I go, give me the one with the oil.
Well, does her cape get in the way when she's doing all this wonderful stuff? I didn't realize you were married to Superwoman. Slid into motherhood, never complains, makes the best Whirly popcorn this side of the Mississippi. Hey,
come on, man.
Bring on the expert.
Fucking make a popcorn and breastfeeding at the same time.
And you don't even smell grease from the next room?
No. I mean, but it smells like a movie theater in here after she's done. If you walked in my house, you'd be like, Jesus, do you have a 400-seat movie theater in here somewhere? That's how good it smells in the house.
Oh, all right.
Burnt popcorn, by the way, is probably the worst smell to get out of the house. That stuff stays for about at least 4 or 5 days. You can't get that smell out of your house.
Well, it's the grease. It was the burning grease in the bottom of the pan. I mean, it says wait till the little kernels pop, and then they pop. So I'm like, okay. And then I go to dump my corn in, and everything's smoking. And I'm like, Jackie's like, it's too hot. And I go, well, I had to wait till the kernels popped. So, and then the corn you guys gave me, is it LA, like, I mean, I know it's from Denver or something, but is it like some special gourmet popcorn? Because they were like little corns.
Yeah, small. Small.
Yeah, they were like little pebbles. What? We thought there was something wrong with the Whirly machine. I'm like, why are these so...
So you mean when they pop, you mean?
When they pop, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a big, fluffy corn. It's like a smaller popcorn.
Yeah, it's like a pebble, guy. It's a pebble. And do you, like, your hamburgers aren't normal. Like, why do you always got to be so cutting edge? It's fucking popcorn, man.
Now, I'm like, do this right. You get it. You get a beautiful batch of popcorn if it's done properly. Now, I don't know why you got the heat so high on that. Did you have a high heat? I mean, we're not frying fillets here. It's popcorn. How hot is it?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't know, guy. You're on the couch. You're just dipping your hands in with the finished product. But let me tell you, it's a nightmare back there. The first batch was so small. We're like, all right, maybe we're not doing this right. Maybe it couldn't expand because I put too much corn in there. So we dumped that out. We did another load, and that came out tiny again. And I'm like, I bet you this is some L.A. fucking gourmet popcorn they eat.
No.
It's hip.
The popcorn's from Colorado.
Yeah, but when I say L.A. hip, I mean people in L.A. are buying their popcorn from Denver because it's little pebbly, because people in L.A. got to be cutting edge, and they can't just have normally big, fluffy, nice popcorn.
And why is the carpet all wet, Todd?
I don't know, Margo.
Jackie ate a whole bag of potato chips during this because we were waiting. So then we threw in old popcorn. We had an Amish bag that I bought years
God,
ago.
God.
I know. I never opened
what is
it.
What does that look like?
Well, it's in a little mini burlap bag.
Oh, jeez.
And I had that in my armoire in the kitchen. It looked nice in there by the booze. It was a decorative piece.
Pete meant to say decorative, close enough.
So we're like, well, we need something to compare. We don't know if there's something wrong with your popcorn or what. So we're like, get the Amish popcorn. It's really old but never been opened. So we open that up. And that puffs, big, beautiful, white puffs. And then we go to eat that, thinking it's going to be delicious. And I don't know if you've... This was the stalest, shittiest popcorn ever. So we threw that out. So now we had 4 bowls of popcorn in the garbage. The place smelled like grease. And we bopped open some Pringles and some other shit, guy. This does not beat microwave popcorn.
Oh, God. The way we do it is when you come over the next time, I'll have Lana give you a batch. By the way, Amish popcorn, anything to do. And this is...
Yeah, I know.
Come on. Anything Amish when it comes to food, please.
It's unbelievable.
Like sawdust.
It's literally just fuel. That's all it is for Amish. I mean, no Amish guy ever bites into anything and says, Ma, you really outdid yourself this time. It's just bland shit. It really is. Have you ever had shoe fly pie?
What's that?
Oh, it's some Amish pie. It's disgusting. And I got it in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the hot, biggest touristy Amish community in the country. So they're making the shoe fly pie as good as it possibly can be made, and it is still unedible, man. So
the name alone is a deterrent.
But dude, if the Amish popcorn wasn't stale and old, I guarantee you I would have ate it over that Denver gourmet stuff. I mean, thank you very much. I appreciate the gesture. Always the holidays, we send gifts to each other. It's lovely. But man, those little pebbles, I gotta come over and try them with Lana.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that you had a bad experience with that. If you had any problems popping the popcorn, I would definitely open the door for you to give us a call and let us walk you through it, because there is no reason you should be having a bad experience with the Whirly Pop. It's one of the best inventions ever, and it makes a beautiful batch of popcorn. We had it last night watching an episode of Billions, and of course my wife fell asleep again. She can't get through a commercial, this one. It's unbelievable. I gotta go rogue, man. She's wondering why I'm watching programs on my own. Hey, this woman can't watch a damn 1 hour show without falling asleep.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
And I want to get into a couple of shows. Here's one, just a recommendation, is Bloodline on Netflix. You watch it?
Oh, man, I watched the first two episodes of season three last night. Kevin is fucking out of control. What are you doing, the guy with the dolphin statue?
Oh, God, was it good. I watched the first two last night, too. It must have been, you were eating your Pringles and I was eating my beautiful popcorn over here. God, was it good. That Kevin's so lost. Oh, he is so lost.
Don't you love when you're so into something, like when the Bo Bridges makes, you know, is going to help Kevin, right? When he says, you know, just do what my guy says and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I said to Jackie, he's going to kill him. He's got to kill him. And she's like, he's not going to kill him. He's going to help him. I go, listen, this guy is such a fucking knucklehead. You can help him. And then 3 days later, he can just stroll in and tell his whole story to a cop in a diner. The guy's just too unstable. Lou, you're unbelievable.
Isn't it unbelievable?
This show is so good. And now to the other brother, I'm like, what are you doing on the bus, guy? Where are we going?
Oh, that was a weird, that was a weird thing, wasn't it, with the bus?
Yeah. I'm like, this ain't you, man. You stay and fight the fight, man.
I don't know where he was going with that, but I'm hooked. I can't wait to watch it again tonight. That's all Bloodline really is. Bloodline. Bloodline.
I'm watching it tonight too. Bloodline. It's in its third season on Netflix, about a family that lives out in the Keys in Florida. You just start watching, you can't stop. I mean, one thing happened and it snowballs. But bro, everything they do, I'm like, I know it seems crazy and you're in over your head, but if we can just get away with this Markham, we may be out of the woods. But then you turn around and the other broads, everyone went and told mommy. I'm like, what the fuck are you all telling mommy for? Holy shit.
I know. Without giving it away, though, maybe we should talk about this off air. Right. The mother. Right. Something's going on with the mother. Don't you? Something's up with the mother, and I don't exactly know what she's got going on, but I don't want to spoil it for the rest of the people that haven't seen it.
What else you got?
I went to the party, the buck-up party.
What's that?
Remember I was telling you about last week about the party that they're going to charge?
Oh, the $60 a head party, yeah.
So I went, and I forgot to tell you this, and these are our friends. I'm just, telling the story from my point of view. It's nothing that I haven't said to them to their face. We had a conversation. She came over last week, and I told you that my wife was communicating via text, and I had told her that say that Sebastian thinks it's kind of poor form to have people pay for a party you're throwing, right? So she came over and I said, you know, let's talk about the elephant in the room. She said, what are you talking about? I go, the party that we got to pay for. And yeah, I said that. I
got
I have a new thing I'm doing now. Yeah. I'm telling people how I feel. There's no holding back. I'm done with suppressing my feelings. I'm done with I'm pulling a Pete here a little bit, and I'm going to start telling people how I feel about them and their behavior to their face, rather than have them leave my house or I leave their house and bitch about it on the way home with my wife. I'm getting stuff off my chest because I am done living like this. So the time I do this, she goes into a full-blown cry. Made her cry.
The girl?
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me, man. Let's address the elephant in the room. And did she just start crying, or was she like, what do you mean?
No, she was saying that, well, wait, you know, this is, you know, I go, it's just, you know, it's just poor form, and, you know, you should pick it up. If it's an economic thing, you shouldn't go to a place that's that expensive. You should go to a place that, you know, which is within your budget. And I didn't say anything. I just, too out of place. I just basically was kind of firm with her saying, but I was kind of joking too. You know, I mean, sometimes I put things in a way where I kind of mask it with humor, and hopefully that kind of lessens the blow. I still get my point across, but this apparently was a hot topic, and she took it to heart, which I felt bad that I made the girl cry. But on the other hand, I was glad I kind of got that off my chest. So we go to the thing, and
well, you just all right. You must be a reason for the way you're wording and telling this.
What was the problem?
Well, I mean, you go, she cried, and then you go, and then you blow
she
over.
She cried, and I'm like, what are you crying? I'm like, you know, like, it goes, you make somebody cry, and then you're like, hey, wait, come on, I'm just, you know, come on. You know, doing that whole thing, kind of like treading the water, saying, hey, you know, don't worry about it, I'm gonna make you cry.
I'm not trying to make fun of her, is what I'm saying, but was she like, you know, I just always wanted this, and it really hurts my feelings that you say that. Like, what was she doing? She just started crying? I mean, how did... You like, I masked it jokingly. It doesn't seem like it worked. I mean, I'm trying to get more of a grasp on it. It didn't work.
She took it from her. It was just something that was bothering her, and I was unaware how much it was bothering her that this was going on. And apparently it hit ahead when I had brought it up. And, you know, just kind of like, oh, yeah, I feel bad. And da-da-da-da-da. And I was, hey, it's all right. I'm just trying to, you know, kind of express how I felt about the whole situation. I go, it's like a topic, you know, like it's a topic of conversation of like, do you pay or don't you pay? You know, it's like one of those discussions you would bring up at like a dinner party. Go, listen to this one. I went to a party and they made me pay. Anybody agree with that? And you'd be half of the table go, yeah, well, you know, I did that. So it's like a conversation piece, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's what you were aiming for, but no. But it's like you're basically saying, I got a gripe with this, and I can't not tell you that I got a problem with this.
I had a problem with that. So I
You should. I thought about it since then.
Yeah. Well, those of you that know me, that you, in, next time you see me, I might have a problem with you, and I'm going to express it in only the way I know how. So that's
my I'm glad to see someone. Someone cried, and you still didn't sway your new methods, but...
Yeah, didn't back down. It was great that I got off my chest. We went to the party. She was very, very nice. I mean, I got nothing against the girl. We sat next to each other, and at the end, I offered to pay my portion or whatever the hell it was, and she's like, I can't accept that, and I put it right back in my pocket. I didn't even do that. I think she was stunned, you know? Like, I did one of those... you know, like normally you go, come on, I'll take it. She goes, no, I can't take it. I go, okay, thank you. Right back in the pocket. I never do that. It was the quickest back in the pocket I've ever done.
Well, I guess it worked then, man, you know?
It worked. It worked. It was nice. And
and you didn't think twice about it, huh? Just back in the pocket, whatever. Where it should have been to begin with. Seriously.
Right back in the pocket. So, yeah, it was a very nice party. It was well done. Had some good laughs with the people there. I got to tell you, and I'm sorry to pat my own back here, but if I don't, I have nothing to say. No, in all seriousness, my questions that I ask people at a party are prolific.
Oh, you're a smooth talker, you are.
Forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but there was a couple sitting across from us. I didn't know who they were, so I started in on the conversation. I noticed more often than not, I'm always the guy extending an olive branch across the table to strangers. I never really get it the other way. So I go, hey, how you doing? I go, the guy looked like John Legend. I said, you look like John Legend. Yeah, I get that. I go, you in the music game? And boom, we're off to the races, right? He's got a girl with her. I go, how'd you guys meet? Boom, Mr. I go, who was more into who? Were you more into? Yeah, it's like, I'm asking them questions that they haven't even discussed.
Yeah, like, they're probably all hopped up loving it too, right?
Yeah, they were like, oh, like I could tell on their face. Oh my God, no one's ever asked us this. It was on their face. They were having a good time. Well, I don't know. I think it was you. No, babe, it was you. And I'm like, look at what I started.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, the art of conversation, just to get it going at the table with a group of strangers. Here's one I asked, and it blew the table away. I asked another girl, I go, excuse me, you shop at Amazon? She goes, yeah, I use Amazon. I go, why is it called Amazon? Stunned!
Really? That's top to, that, it doesn't take much with that crew, huh?
Here's the kicker. Lana says, you know, hey, start conversation with her. She works at Amazon. So I go, why do they call it Amazon? And she was like, I don't know. I never thought about it. And then after she answered the question of like kind of like hemming and hawing, Lana whispers back. She goes, I don't think she works at Amazon. I go, what the fuck? Get your shit straight before I start in on an Amazon question. Because I was going to go, you work at Amazon? And you don't know why it's called Amazon? Thank God I didn't say that, because I picked up on the fact that she don't even work there.
She was probably going, this fucking guy comes up and just asks me why Amazon is called Amazon. Why would I know that?
There's certain like trigger points that you have to have, and I don't know if this could even be taught, but when you go to a party and you don't know anybody at the table, there's certain questions that you ask that get the conversation ignited. But you know what? It's never returned back. You know, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Like nobody asked us how we met. Nobody asked us about why is it called Postmates. Nobody asked us a question. It was all coming from one side. And there's another thing I'm doing. I don't know if you do this as a man. As a new father, yes, I am very proud of my daughter. And if people ask me about, hey, how's me? I go, that's great. Da-da-da-da. Don't take a picture out at all until they ask. The ones that ask are the ones that really care. I don't offer a voluntary here look. I wait till they go, you got a picture?
Yeah. Me too. Yeah, that's the way to go, man.
You just don't whip it out. Start showing, because if you do that, then you get like a half-hearted response. If they really want to see, they'll ask. Then you take it out. Then you get more of a genuine connection with the person. But right now, the phone.
I can't wait to show a picture of my daughter. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah. This is how prepared I am. Started a separate folder. I got a folder for Serafina. So when I'm so ready for it. I hate when you ask somebody, or they're looking through their phone and like, hold on, I know I got it here somewhere. And they're flipping through about 7,000 photos. I got it categorized.
I got about 13 of my favorite photos right now in this folder. I update it every 3 or 4 days. So if somebody wants to see, boom, I go right through the right through it all. And there's no pictures of food in there. There's no pictures of a building. It's all her 13. Knock it out. It's done. It's like a slideshow. The only thing I'm missing is music to it.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to go. I got to do that too, man. That's nice. The old folder, because I'm kind of guilty of that too, or else I will see one of her, and the person will lean over and go, is that her? And I'll go, yeah, no, that's not the one. That's not the one. Like, because it is her, but that's not the one I want you to see, man.
Yeah,
back off.
Yeah,
wait
yeah.
for me to turn the phone around and show you the one I want you to see.
I think it's so awkward, like for that reason, is when someone's flipping through their phone, you feel like you have to look away, like they're putting in a passcode at an ATM. You know, you don't want to look just in case you see like a dick or a tit. In the photos, you ever feel like people got like inappropriate shit in their phone, and if you glance at it and see it, that it ruins the relationship, right?
Yeah, it could. I mean, it just takes seeing one awkward kind of a photo. I mean, I know a guy who retweeted something, and I haven't looked at him the same just from the retweet. So, I'll leave it at that. So, let alone what you have in your photo. We went to the doctor's office the other day, and basically, though, I was, man, I have such problem with doctors and like customer service with them and the shit they try to get away with.
You got a problem?
Yeah, it was too much. By the way, when you go to the eye doctor, and he goes, better one, better two, better two, better one.
I don't know what that is.
Do you go to the eye doctor?
No.
You don't. What do you mean? You don't go get your eyes checked every year?
Eyes check? Wait, were we in high school? Grade school?
What? You don't go? Lou, you get your eyes checked?
No way, I got great eyes.
You just assume?
Yeah, I can see.
Yeah, but like maybe you can't see as good as you think you can see. Maybe you're like, holy shit, I have not good vision at all. This is how people are really seeing? You two, I don't even get that, bro.
No one does this. No one does this.
Nobody go. I go to the eye doctor once a year. I get my eyes checked. I get new contact lenses. Well, especially when you have contact lenses, if your prescription is over a year old, nobody's going to give you your old contacts. Like if I call up a doctor, okay.
All right. Well, I thought you were just going to see if your eyes were okay.
Yeah, but like, wouldn't you? Don't you? I would anyway. I mean, my prescription hasn't changed in years, but I still would go to get your retina checked out.
No one goes to the eye doctor unless they can't see.
This new eye doctor I go to, he goes, we have this other test. It's where we check your retina with a photo. It's not necessary, but some people like it, so we can take a better look at the retina. If you'd like that test, that's $25. You know, I have eye insurance with the Writers Guild, but it's not much. But, you know, it wouldn't cover this thing. So I go, did my wife get it? Because she just went in before me. And he goes, no. And I go, yeah, no, I don't need that. So then a little later on, he can't check some of my eyes. So he goes, I'm going to have to use that eye retina machine after all, but free of charge. I'm like, oh, hey, we're going to waive the $25 for the big machine. It just never ends with these people. I mean, like, so
just
so
throw
what?
It in.
I wonder if he goes home to his wife and he goes, hey, baby, I got 5 bites on the retina machine today. She's like, that's $125. Way to go, Joe. I call the doctor. I call him doctor, too, the eye doctor. I'm being kind with that. I go, hey, doc. Hi, doctor. Am I being kind?
I think you go, for an eye doctor, you go doc. For a cardiologist, you go doctor, and you say his last name. But for an eye doctor, you go doc.
If you were having a massive heart attack in a restaurant, and to your left was an eye doctor, and to your right was a social studies teacher, would you care who helped one more than the other? Like, would you be like, I want to go with the eye doctor? Would you think he knows any fucking thing more than the social studies teacher?
I don't think he does.
I don't think so either. I mean, what is it? Are you going to check my vision? Well, that's all he does. So what he does when you go to him, they got a machine, and he goes, all right,
He keeps flipping a lens, and you're looking at letters on a wall. So he goes, tell me if you can see it better one, meaning this way, and then he flicks it, or better two. But the difference is so minuscule that I usually have to go, can I see one again? And I look at it and I go, all right, let me see two again. I'm like, I guess two is, and he gets a little frustrated, and I'm like, guy, what are we doing here? Fucking, I'm not a sniper in the army. Slap some glasses on. So it's a lot going on. You should probably go. I bet you both that you both have worse eyes than you think. No disrespect.
No. I did go 3 or 4 years ago. Hold on, we're getting Whirly Pop in here. Lana's gonna come in here. Lana, Pete tried the Whirly Pop last night and had an awful experience. He said that the house.
Two nights ago.
The house smelled so bad because the oil was apparently too hot. Burnt grease.
Smelled like an IHOP. Smelled like the kitchen of an IHOP.
Smelled like a kitchen of an IHOP. I'm going to give you the headset right now, and I want you to tell him how you make the perfect batch.
Yeah. Okay. How are you? Congratulations. Thanks. Face the, voice to voice here, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't even spoke since you became a mom. How are you? Great?
I'm great. Yeah. Pete,
we're going to forget the pleasantries right now. Let's get right into the popcorn. Go ahead. How do you make popcorn?
Yeah.
With the whirly. You'd pour like a cup of oil. Mm-hmm. And
a lot of oil. So that's
what kind of oil?
Canola oil.
What are you using?
We use canola too. We use canola.
And then you put about 3 kernels in the oil, and you turn the stove on. But as soon as they start popping, you pour the rest of your kernels in. I believe it's half a cup.
Okay, I went with a little too much.
Oh yeah, maybe you didn't have enough oil, so the kernels could have started pop. The kernels could have burnt because they didn't have enough coating on them.
Yeah, that's what you did. You probably overpopulated the oil with the kernels, therefore cooling off the oil and having the kernels sit there could have caused them to char.
Well, Lana, when you go to turn the whirly machine with the right, so with your free hand, do you get a pot holder or something and hold the top of it so that it doesn't move?
There's a little wooden knob on the top that you can hold it with.
To hold the top so it doesn't move.
Yeah, so you can kind of secure the pan and then, or the pot, and then I'm in the weirdest position trying to speak, by the way. That's why I'm a weirdo right now.
Well, listen, we got nothing to talk about when we're trying to figure out how to make popcorn.
And Sebastian's mouth is right in my face and his breath smells.
Well, let me just ask lastly, when you clean up the machine, you have oil in the pot that needs to be drained, and then the pot needs to be cleaned, right?
Yes, you just kind of wipe it out. You don't have to do it with soap every time.
Really? You do a wipe out? You don't even have to wash it? Shit. All right, we must have gone with too little grease and burnt the inside of the pot. That's the move I got to figure out.
So the kernels have to be kind of just swimming in the oil, because you have to think they're all going to get larger. So they need a good dosage of oil. I'll measure it out and give you the report.
She's going to give you the correct report. And by the way, you keep referring to it as grease. We're not working on a car, guy. This is oil. We're doing popcorn. Grease is for the engine.
What could be grease lightning?
It's the same thing, We call it like the grease fryer or whatever. But it's you're right. It's not grease. It's canola oil. But I didn't realize every kernel needs to have its own place to bathe in the oil. No one can be on top of anyone else. I'll give that a try. And appreciate the gift. Not such a fan of these pebble popcorns, though.
These are too small.
Well, the deal is we really researched our try to find our favorite popcorn, and this one takes the cake. But if you like larger ones, we could shoot some suggestions your way. We also have some options for those. But sorry, lastly, I know I'm really boring, but when you take it out, you put a little salt on it, and you have to wait for it to cool, and then it gets crispy, because when it first comes out, it's a little soggy, but then it takes form.
Oh, all right.
There all you right. have it. See, coming from a professional, now going back to breastfeed. It's amazing.
That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Appreciate the update. I will give the corn another try based on what your wife just said, man.
Yeah, it's amazing. I will. What type of information here you get on the Pete and Sebastian show?
This up before. I went out two nights ago with my friends again. This couple, we always go out when we're home. I love hanging out with them. They give me ideas for the sitcom. It's great. But anyway, this happened again. We go to our favorite bar in town called Coglins. I love hanging out there. So Lou, you hang out at bars a lot with Jukebox too, so maybe you know more about this than me. So they give me a report. I get into the bar. I get there kind of early. We get settled in, you know, and the music we're listening to, it's not that good. And I'm talking to the bartender, and he goes, yeah, no, that's just my music. The jukebox is open, and if you start putting tunes on my thing just goes off. I go, great. And he goes, but listen, a couple hours from now, the place packs out. So-and-so bar closes, and this place is going to get hopping, just to give you a heads up. And they go all in on the jukebox. And I'm like, dude, thank you for the heads up, right? So I go over. I'm not even kidding you, bro. I put like $25 into the jukebox. I take a whole length of an ice cold beer to sit there and pick the tunage for the whole night, you know, and I got it lined up. Then I go back and sit down. We're hanging out. Our tunes are playing. It's great. We're talking, and, you know, you start to lose track of it. All of a sudden, I hear a tune, and I'm like, what the hell? I didn't fucking pick that thing. And it's still within the time range where all my tunes should be playing. And now it's getting more and more crowded. And I start hearing more and more music that's not mine. So I go up to the bartender. I'm like, are you playing your own music again? He goes, no, that's a jukebox. I go, well, what? I have like tons of tunes that aren't playing, man. All my tunes are lined up. I had a monopoly on this thing. And he goes, no, the kids come in and you can pay extra money and bump your, and their music plays first. I go, they're bumping my shit?
Yep.
So these kids are coming in, and if you drop more cash, my shit. So I go, when will mine play? And he goes, honestly, man, we'll be closed by the time yours plays. They put more money in, and they bump everybody's shit, and they just pay the extra money, and they play their crap all night long.
Yep, that's the rule you got to know. Sure, man. When I used to work in a bar, like, if you don't play now, every time, play now, pay extra, your songs are not coming on till the next day.
What kind of horse shit is that, man?
Oh, man.
Everything in this country is whoever has the most money wins. It's unbelievable, man. I get there early. I load it up with a little Zeppelin, a little Who, a little James Taylor, a little Bob Seger. And next thing you know, I'm listening to Pink.
Yeah, I don't know if you should be allowed to literally monopolize the jukebox like you did. There should be a limit of four songs. And then the next person gets to play theirs. I don't understand. $25 and you're monopolizing the whole damn thing.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm doing everybody a favor. Did you just not hear the list of the bands I listed? I mean, everything I was putting on is like just the best of the best. Little Dwayne Allman, just to close it out, we got the news about him, so I was banging out with Sweet Melissa. You know that one, bro? Do you know who Dwayne Allman was?
I know he died, but Allman Brothers.
His brother was Joy. They invented the candy bar. Allman Joy?
They did?
Dwayne Allman.
Come on, man. Lou, do you got anything on this guy?
Got anything, dude. What do you think? Right here, this is Sweet Melissa. Couldn't think of the right name. Heard a woman in a store call out to her daughter, Melissa, Melissa, and he's like, that's the name. Who doesn't want to drive? Just listen to this. Gypsy
flies. No interest.
Man, what do you mean no interest?
No
Lou,
interest.
Lou, can you put on the Marshall Tucker Band? Can you put on Can't You See?
Sure. It was Greg Allman who died too, not Dwayne. That was his brother who died earlier.
Oh, that's an edit. His brother, you died earlier, meaning in fucking 1973, I believe.
Yeah.
So I was off by about 43 years, I guess, or whatever. Whatever.
Not to worry. We can fix that in post-production, where the real magic happens.
Now, do you know this one, Sebastian? This isn't the Allman Brothers. You do.
Yeah.
All right. So this is... All right, we're not going to put...
Who sings this?
Marshall Tucker Band.
Marshall Tucker Band.
Can't you see? Gonna take a freight train. Just listen to that.
Okay, no, this is your music. This is like backwoods, making a fire, and...
This is Coghlan's at 10:30 at night, bro. That's what this is. This is the bar. This is why I monopolize jukeboxes, because I was born to. I'm doing everybody a favor. And then you know what I play after this by the Marshall Tucker Band? You know what other song I play by them? Nothing. Yeah, because they're basically a one-hit wonder no matter what anybody says. I know there's fans out there, but no. Anything anyone would care about by this band in a bar is playing right now. So I move on. I'm done with them. I don't play any Pink Floyd. We're not smoking weed in a drum circle. They're too boring. I don't usually play Pearl Jam, Lou. I'm sorry, but not everybody can swallow that. I think about the entire bar as a whole. You know, if I'm coming high with a Zeppelin tune, I'll come low with a James Taylor tune, slide into an Elton John tune. Maybe it's time for a Billy Joel sing-along, and then back to a John Lennon solo piece. Come on.
So when you curate a music list for a bar through a jukebox... Are you like half in the conversation and then half in ear going, oh yeah, John Lennon's going to come on next? You're actually participating in where you are in the playlist?
Well, it's so cool because our bar is like practically empty at that point. So my wife and our friends are at a booth table like right near me, and I'm like at the jukebox with my beer, and like by the time I'm not even done picking by the time my first song's playing, so I look over at my wife like, that's for you, baby. Yeah, I know you like that one. 45 and loving life. I mean, no, 47. But 47 and in heaven, baby. Proud to be my age.
You're into this. I mean, I want to go back a little bit on the Pearl Jam. Lou, the Eddie Vedder compared to the guy that just died, what the hell is his name?
Chris Cornell.
Yeah, is that like, are they even in the grunge world, or does someone look at Cornell and go, oh no, this guy's much better than Vedder?
They're very even. In fact, they're very good friends. They were very good friends. So yeah, they're as good as you can get it in, as far as the 90s alternative music goes.
So those are the two beacons of light in that genre.
Very well put, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, comparatively of overall popularity, I mean, Chris Cornell is amazing, and there's probably a lot of grunges, Lou, right, that consider him better than Eddie at grunge.
Nobody likes the term grunge. That's number one.
Oh,
I'm
It's like
sorry. Calling somebody a hipster, like they wouldn't...
Alternative.
All right, that's a little better.
Sorry, whatever you call it. But comparatively of popularity, it's a little more like Mick Jagger to David Bowie, I'd say. Like, we all love David Bowie, but, you know, Jagger's just... I'm just saying, Eddie Vedder is a beast. He's up there now with, like, the freaking, to me, I think, right, Lou? With, like, the Beatles and fucking...
Well, him and Dave Grohl are pretty much the only ones left if you like that kind of music.
Where does Cobain fall into that discussion?
He was huge back in the day, but then when he died, you know, he didn't make any more new music, so he's kind of out. I didn't really care for him that much. This one hurt a lot more. I actually cried a little bit.
Oh, I heard shed a tear here. Yeah. What is this? Yeah. Is this something new?
Couldn't control it.
Wow, man, that's. I mean, that's something. Yeah. I don't know if I've cried over the death of a celebrity. I'm trying to think. I mean, Billy Joel, I might cry. I really might cry. But Derek Jeter, I won't cry. I won't even miss dinner. Jeez. I mean, listen, I don't want him to die. I love the guy. He's great. But it's like, you know, I mean, kind of an overall big picture. I got my own problems, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Lou, the more I think about that, I kind of have a problem with that, I think.
I didn't want to admit it. It just overtakes you. But I'm like, God damn, why the fuck is this hitting me so hard?
Well, are you crying because you'll never hear a song by him, a new song by him?
Well, yeah, and I had just seen him live last year, and it's a very personal thing. Like, I take music just as seriously as you do. Like, when I do the same thing when I go to a bar. When I go to a bar, I need to monopolize that jukebox, except I pay the extra money because I know young kids are going to play their hip-hop music at the end of the night and ruin my good time. And if I don't have my music, it ruins the whole night. It's fucking everything to have a soundtrack to your night.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, DJ Lou. I couldn't agree more. If there's bad music playing, and because even though you're having great conversation, the minute there's a lull, when there's a lull in great conversation, that's when I need to go... As you're hanging out, all of a sudden there's a low, and that's when you're going by a stairway to heaven. So anyway, what were you saying about, right? Like that little lull needs to be filled with a beautiful song.
Yep.
It can't be all of a sudden if it's a bad song, there's a lull, and you're like, oh, what the fuck is that? Oh, exactly, Lou. Exactly.
You know what? When I used to bartend, we used to fix the jukebox so that it wouldn't play any music by any black artists.
Jesus. Why would you do that? They have such great music.
I didn't do that, but like after 11 o'clock at night, you can't. So that way, like rowdy kids can't come in and play, angry rap music and stuff. But they fixed the jukebox. They're racist. What are you going to do?
Whoa, man.
Jeez, I never heard of that.
So
a
maybe
racist jukebox. I never even heard of that.
It's an option if you get creative.
How does the jukebox know?
No, it knows. It knows. Because I would try to play Michael Jackson or Prince or whatever, and after a certain time, you just can't do it. And the bartender had fixed it up that way.
Wow. Yeah,
so if something's labeled R&B or hip-hop or rap, it's out.
Oh, that's just because, wow. He thinks people get hopped up from Michael Jackson music, or maybe that's just he doesn't like that music, so after this hour, I can't take it anymore.
I guess he just doesn't want those people coming in and taking over the jukebox and turning his bar into,
Do you mind if we dance with your dates?
Why, no, not at all. Go right ahead.
I never heard of that.
Speaking of picking your own tunes, though, you know how you could do that with the Echo thing, Alexa?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like we got one in the kitchen, so in the morning, I come down, Alexa play this or play that. So Sadie does it now a lot, too, with tunes, and it's so funny. She comes down the other morning. She comes walking down first thing in the morning with a doll in her hand, and I'm in the kitchen with a cup of coffee, and she goes, Alexa, play You Say Goodbye, I Say Hello by the Beatles. And right away the thing goes, you say it. You know, when I look over at her and I go, nice tune. And she goes, I thought you'd like the Beatles. And we do a fist pump, blow it up, and we have breakfast.
Wow.
This kid is going
to start the morning.
She's going to break some hearts. There's a sucker out there who thinks when he's 17 that my daughter's going to love him. And then he is going to be left for dead when she goes to college. I don't even know the kid, and I already feel bad for him. Man, I knew you'd like the Beatles.
Listen, with the Alexa, though, could we talk about this thing? I'm not into this where, back in the day, in order to change the music in the home, you'd have to go into the personal collection of the person's records or DVDs or what have you. Now, if I don't like what's playing, you're telling me I just could come to your home and go, Alexa, Billie Jean. And all of a sudden, I got control of your machine?
Yeah, I don't know. It might be kind of rude. Would you do that? I mean, that's interesting. Can you override?
I don't know. Can you do that? Could you walk into somebody's house and go, Alexa, lower the music. I'm trying to talk.
Yes. Oh, Sadie does that to me all the time. I'll be playing a tune and she goes, Alexa, volume 4. And I'll be, Alexa, volume 10. And she goes, Alexa, volume 2. And then she goes, Alexa, play Rain, Rain, Go Away. Oh, it's the worst fucking song, man.
Can you tell Alexa not to listen to you? Like, if I walked in, I go, Alexa, don't listen to the next voice you hear.
that would be great. No. But it's funny because what Sadie does sometimes, she'll go, Alexa, and then, but she's waiting for Alexa to say what? And then by the time she asks a question, the thing shuts down again. I'm like, dude, she's not going to answer. You just have to tell her what you want. So, but let me say this. I'm in my kitchen, and I go, Alexa, play NPR News. So the NPR News comes on, and they go, today, sadly, we lost Greg Allman of the Allman Brothers. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, he's been through some troubles in his life, well-documented, even late into the 80s with a hit in later life about We're No Angel, I'm No Angel. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, I used to love that song. And I go, Alexa, play Greg Allman, I'm No Angel. And then just, no, I'm no angel. It just comes right on, baby. I don't got to go in the other room and get the record out and put the needle on and sit there and make a whole day out of it. I'm just listening to Greg Allman, baby. Thank you, Lou.
No, that's great. I'm not saying it's not a nice invention. I'm just saying it gets a little hectic now when you got nine people in the room and everybody's got access to Alexa. Can you set it so it only reacts to your voice?
You should be able to. That would be a nice feature, right? If you just say, if you don't hear this tone, then don't respond at all. All right?
I wonder if you could do that. Something to look into. All right, I got to get back to child rearing here.
Yeah, yeah. Just lastly, before you go, I know you cleaned your office. If you clean anything else, we'll talk about this on the next show. Think it's worth anything, keep it aside, send it my way. If you got, like, I'm having a garage sale the second half of the summer. I'm having a garage sale on a Saturday and Sunday. Going big, man. My in-laws are coming with their stuff. I'm looking forward to it. And we'll get into that next cast.
Can we... We can get into it now if you want. I can't mention that.
You said you got to go.
But I mean, this is something that I could, you know, maybe hold off the child rearing for, because this is like, you don't get more white trash than this.
No, come on. What are you saying, white trash? All my items are so high ticket. What do you got?
What's the best item?
I don't know. How about a brand new dollhouse, one of those plastic things that you walk inside and play with, outdoor dollhouse for a kid? Brand new, not used. They go for like, I don't know, $99. Maybe I'll go lowball. Maybe they go for like $50. At the Pete Corielli garage sale, you're going to be able to get it for $3, maybe. I mean, it's going to be crazy. I got a telescope. I got a telescope worth like $200. I'm going to sell that for like $20. That's a high ticket item. Crazy. Crazy. I got a machine still in the box, bro. It takes your records. You put your record on this machine, and while it's playing your record, the other part of it you plug into your computer. Not only are you listening to your record, it's downloading into your computer. So now your album is on your computer, one step away from being on your phone. Boom. $3. Still in the box.
I think you could get more money for these things to make it worth your while of having the sale. For $3, $2, $1, why bother? Let's crank up the prices.
Well, I hear you. I may be going a little low, but here's the deal. Jackie may go a little higher on it, but it's scheduled for a Saturday. And it's supposed... I go, listen, we got all this crappy. I go, Jack, either have your garage sale you keep joking about, or I'm throwing it all out. And she's like, will you do it? And I go, we'll get some beers. If your father will do it, I'll do it. And my father-in-law said he'll do it. He's got a lot of stuff. So he's going to come over and set everything up with his stuff, and we'll have some beers. So... then they go, my father-in-law goes...
I'm sorry. I got to cut you off here. Now, listen, I'm not a stranger to garage sales. I grew up on them, and believe me, my family has had their share of garage sales. But don't tell me you're the type of family that I come up in the garage, and everybody's sitting in the garage around a cooler, and they're having, like, a party with, like, shit items around them. What the fuck are we doing here, man? You're basically gonna have a drinking session with a bunch of garbage.
This is not garbage. Did you just not hear that laundry list? And those are just a few items. I mean, lawn chairs and stuff. I'm gonna have everything's good. I have a really long driveway, so I hope to have them go up and down my driveway. Maybe I will have a banjo guy play. Why not? And then this gets a little crazy. I want to keep them off my front lawn. So I told Jackie the sidewalk that runs across, you know, at the end of my front lawn, I'm going to put items on the lawn on the other side of that sidewalk. So they'll go on the sidewalk
to view those items, and on the driveway to view other items. There'll be no reason to be on my grass. And this is one thing you're missing. Yeah, I'll be drinking beer, but I'm not going to be sitting in a lawn chair going, how much you got for that? Yeah, well, I might be, dude. I actually might be. That's part of the fun, right? But my father-in-law goes, well, we should have it Saturday and Sunday, you know. You don't just and I said to Jackie, listen, we don't have a lot of shit, and all of our stuff is going to go quick. It's high-ticket stuff. I'm not coming home from writing all week to sit on the front lawn 2 days in a row. That's white trash. But I figure I start by 10, bro. All my items should be gone by about 3. Nice, fun time. It's not about making money. It's just about passing it along. Get a few bucks in your pocket. Have some more.
I say get a couple beers, go in the backyard, and then take all the stuff down to Goodwill and get rid of this. So you're gonna have, now you got people coming to the house, right? Got maybe strangers, people who don't know where you live. Now they know where you live. Now they start snooping around the garage, looking for, you know, entryways into the house and whatnot. You don't need this riffraff.
I don't. You might be right. I mean, I didn't think much about that part of it. Like, people just on my property.
Come on, man. Again, you got a baby, 4 years old. You're going to have a guy coming looking for trash items and then go, oh, this is a nice house. Maybe I'll come back when they're not home, and then the whole house is gone.
I don't know. You might. I mean, I was you remember when I used to do that thing, the Pete?
Yeah.
Remember, so I was on my front lawn 2 days ago blowing bubbles with Sadie and her friend, the neighbor there, and a car comes by, a guy in a Mustang, and he stops, and I'm like, what, has he got a problem? He doesn't want to ride through a bubble because they were floating out into the road. And he rolls down the window, and he just goes, I love the Pete. Bring back the Pete. And he rolls up the window and drives off. Like, and I just give a wave, like, thanks, man. So, like,
they know where you live.
Well, I'm out of my front lawn, too, but yeah, everybody knows around here. But, you know, that was a nice moment. Yeah. And I don't need him to drive by, probably, right? And now all of a sudden, my fucking selling sweaters on the table.
Call the police.
No, that was a nice moment, bro. That's small town USA. I was happy to have that moment. I mean, shit, you kidding me? He'll hop on my step for a little while. I'm just saying, I don't want to, like, you know, the guy thinks, you know, hey, cool guy, he lives over here, it's fun to have, and then I was going to drive by in a month and I'm selling shit. I mean, you might, you know,
oh,
I might.
Well, that, yeah, that looks like shit, too. I mean, these guys are a writer on a popular TV show and he's having a trash sale.
Jesus. I tell you, man.
Come on, man.
I might try and pull a few items out of Kevin's office just to, I could get big money for that stuff. Are you kidding me? He's got a couple jackets. They keep his wardrobe right out front of his office. Maybe I'll grab a few Kevin Can Wait jackets. Kevin, and I'll have a photo of him wearing it in the scene.
Oh, that's a nice item. That is a real nice item. I'd pay top dollar for that.
I know, right? No, but seriously, man, I got some tables. I got some good stuff. So I'll read off the laundry list when it gets closer. But you get back to your child rearing, man.
Time to child rear. Where do I got to promote? July 6, 7, and 8 at the Atlantic City Borgata Hotel and Casino. Fall dates are yet to go on sale, but keep it tuned here to the Pete and Sebastian Show for more information. Here's another one. June 23rd at the Thunder Valley Casino in Lincoln, California. That's up north of Los Angeles. And one more, I will be at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Unxville, Connecticut, August 26th. SebastianLive.com has all your ticket information. And yourself?
Oh, listen, unfortunately, guys, if you had tickets for the Improv, I had to cancel that one in late June. I had to go back writing a little sooner, so I had to cancel that one. Other than that, I'll be out with Brian Regan in Kansas City, June 7, 8, and 9, Kansas City, Texas. And then back writing for the show, baby. Good hanging with you. Good small talk, as always. Get back to your child rearing, super dad. You're doing great, man. Over and out.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Later, guys. The show has ended.
You don't need it.